Welcome to the 52nd episode of the Parents Initiative Podcast. This is your host, Leo Colon, and I have our co-host, Rebecca, with us.
Hey, 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 everyone.
I want to congratulate you for taking the time to listen to this, and we do that because you're saying that parenting matters to you.
Yeah.
And it'll be easy for us to say thank you for listening to this, but you're not doing us a favor. You know, you're saying, hey, this is important to me. I want to do what I can to be the best parent that I can be. And we want to do our best to equip you and challenge you and encourage you.
And you're taking the initiative.
Yes, you're taking the initiative, hence Parents Initiative.
Yep.
All right, so this episode, we're going to hit on how good grades are overrated.
Yep.
So before I go into what I want to go into, like, how do you feel about that statement?
I say amen.
You say amen. Why? Okay. So why do you say amen?
Well, for a few reasons. Personal reason, because school was not my strong suit. I'd rather been learning by doing kind of person. I feel like a lot of times grades, it's not necessarily on... are given not necessarily on things that you've actually learned, but things that information that you crammed in your head that you can spew out on paper. Mm-hmm. And so it's, and depending on what a grade is, you know, what you're getting a grade for. So I really do well more so by learning and doing.
Okay. So I've been reading this book. It's called Emotional Intelligence by Daniel Coleman, and it's a older book, and something that I've been wanting to get to, and he's just really talking about the importance of really focusing on your emotions and how they should, you know, do a better job of leading you and also leading others. And one of the chapters he's talking about, you know, having a high IQ, and he says, people with high IQs can be stunningly poor pilots of their private lives. There's a relationship between IQ and life circumstances for large groups as a whole. Many people with very low IQs end up with menial jobs, and those with high IQs tend to become well paid, but by no means always. At best, IQ contributes about 20% of the factors that determine life success, which leads 80% to other forces.
Yeah.
All right, let me say that again. At best, IQ contributes to about 20% of the factors that determine to life success, which leaves 80% to other forces. So, you know, I was telling Rebecca, I read it somewhere in this book and I couldn't find it, but there was a section he talked about how those in the, you know, you see in the future, they followed a certain group of people, and those that had lower IQs a lot of times had a tendency to have higher positions in a company than those with higher IQs, because those with lower IQs, for the most part, in this study taken, knew how to relate better with people.
And that's, most people don't realize that, you know, as a boss, you not only need to be wise, but also have relationship skills, a place to lead from a place of empathy. And a lot of people that are extremely intelligent lack empathy.
Yep.
And in a way of, most of the time they're socially awkward. You know, they might be a little bit more colder. They don't understand why you say what you say, because they don't feel as much.
Yeah, and those other forces we talked about a few moments ago. Let me say it again. At best, IQ contributes to about 8%, 20% of the factors that determine life success, which leads 80% to other forces. What are those other forces? So here we go. Abilities such as being able to motivate oneself and persist in the face of frustrations, to control impulse and delay gratification, to regulate one's mood, and to keep distress from swamping the ability to think, to empathize, and to hope. What do you think about that?
I agree with it.
It's good stuff.
Yeah, it's just powerful. And when you begin to read all of those different things.
All right, so let me share this study with you. It says, consider also data from an ongoing study of about 81 valedictorians and salutatorians from the 1981 class in Illinois high school. All, of course, had the highest grade percentage in their schools. But while they continued to achieve well in college, getting excellent grades, by their late 20s, they had climbed to only average levels of success. 10 years after graduating from high school, only one in four were at the highest level of young people at comparable age in their chosen profession, and many were doing much less well. So here we are, and listen, I was reading this, I think it was just a couple days ago, I was reading this. So here we are where, you know, I'm guilty of this. I want our kids to excel in school. And I'm not saying it's not important for you to want your kids to excel in school. But sometimes I think we make it such a big deal that we oftentimes neglect what really matters.
Right.
You know, our son, he is doing very well in school and he's getting really good grades. And he's just at a place where he's doing very well. And so, you know, we can sometimes have a tendency to focus on that so much and push him to do more. But if he's neglecting other areas of his life, then it's not going to be very conducive for him.
No, it's for naught. Because, you know, you can know all the things in the world, but are you able to have a conversation with someone across the table with you? Are you able to listen? And this is something that, you know, students, you know, and myself, this is something that I have worked really hard at learning how to do. And it still has to be a thing that I intentionally work on all the time, is learning how to be a good listener, to really listen to the people that are speaking to you, to really not just hear the words that are coming out of their mouth, but hear them, meet them where they are, and show empathy and show that you care, and then be able to speak from your heart, not just give a bunch of information to someone.
Yeah, so I mean, I think the main underlining thing is that we are doing our best as parents to equip our kids in how to manage their emotions,
yes,
to navigate relationships, how to deal with things that don't go their way. That is the best thing that we could do in preparing them. Mm-hmm. So I want to read one more section of this book real quick, and then we're going to give you a personal illustration from us that we're kind of walking through recently. So let me read this. It says, the single most important contribution education can make to a child's development, and let's just say you as a parent as well, is to help him toward a field where his or her talents best suit him, where he will be well satisfied and competent. We've completely lost sight of that. Instead, we subject everyone to an education where if you succeed, you will be best suited to be a college professor. And we evaluate everyone along the way according to whether they meet that narrow standard of success. We should spend less time ranking children and more time helping them identify their natural competencies and gifts and cultivate those. There are hundreds and hundreds of ways to succeed and many, many different abilities that will help to get you there. So with that being said, you know, our son, he is going to a pretty good program here in Mobile County. It's called EPIC
and
IB. Pretty good programs, and for those that are gifted, you know, when it comes to being smart, and it's more of a challenging thing for him, and he was taking a self-evaluation test.
Yeah, so we were sitting talking about what he wants to do, and for the last few years, he has, you know, said he wanted to be an Imagineer, work for Disney and things like that, and so we were just sitting here having a conversation. You know, we've got lots of time on our hands with COVID. And, you know, he said, you know what, Mom? I'm looking at all these different things. And he was checking out pay scales and, like, jobs and all these different stuff like that. And I said, listen, son, I want you to do exactly what, you know, you feel in your heart that you need to do in your profession or in your life. But I asked him, I said, so why do you want to be an Imagineer? And he just kind of paused for a minute. You know, he's good at math and, you know, different things. He likes to be creative. And I said, is it because you love Disney so much? You know, and then there was this kind of pause, and he thought to himself, he said, you know what, Mom? There were some self-evaluations that they gave us in middle school, and I wonder if I could still pull them up. And he pulled them up, and he began to kind of take some of these evaluations. And what they do is they kind of pull out your strengths and kind of give you an idea of what you should do when you get older, kind of guiding you in your profession. And I could guess all of these things. Why? Because I know my son, and I can see his giftings. He's very artsy. He's musically inclined. He loves theater, and he may not like to be seen in front of people, but he does like to do things with when it comes to putting on programs. And he's my videographer when I do my videos for healthy things that we do for our business. And so I love that he's always coming up with creative ways. So he began to read all these things. Well, that has nothing to do with being an engineer. You know, in some ways, he had a creative side part of it. But when you began to really break down, what does this look like? Well, it means sitting in an office all day drawing lines and doing math in your head and doing paper. Is it getting outside the box and doing a lot of the different things with all of the things that you really love and are passionate about? And so it helped him to be able to really think, okay, wow, I think I'm going to have to rethink my whole life plan. Well, obviously he has plenty of time to think about those things. So it's just having those kind of conversations with your child and not say, you have to be a doctor and you have to be a lawyer and you have to do this. And I also help him think about, okay, what do you want to do? I want him to get a full ride. I would love for him to get an educational scholarship and all those things, but also don't want him to be going to a profession and he's going to be coming out of there not loving what he does, and then he's got like hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt either. So,
you know, and we want you to understand, listen, we're not saying that grades don't matter. We're just saying is that we can't make that the main thing.
No.
You know, we got to make sure that our kids are going to a place that they're going to excel, they're not going to regret.
Right.
You know, sometimes it's easy for us to push our kids a certain direction because that's what we want for them, but what do they want? What are they going to excel at?
What are they good at?
Our goal is to be there as a guide, to make sure that they're going in the right direction, to keep them, I guess you could say, accountable at times, and partner with them.
Ask questions.
Yes.
Ask questions that help them to think, discover themselves, discover the strengths inside of them, and really think about the overall big picture.
And the main thing is that we're preparing them for life, that we're teaching them how to manage their emotions, how to navigate things, how to deal with relationships, how to communicate. I mean, the list goes on and on. You get it. We are building people of character. And if we don't do that, we have failed them because they won't be ready for life and they won't be ready to lead.
Right. I always tell people we're not raising children. We're raising the future adults.
So once again, I haven't read this book completely, so I can't officially recommend it, but it is Emotional Intelligence by Daniel Coleman. It was chapter 3 that I just read, some parts of that. So if you want to check it out, check it out. We always say, what is it? Eat the meat and spit out the bones?
Yep.
Eat the meat and spit out the bones. All right. So once again, if you could rate this episode, we'll love for you to give us some input, review it, share it with your friends, especially those that may be discouraged in some way. Their kids are not doing so well in school. Maybe that, you know, God will lay somebody on your heart to share this with and do that for us. And that way it could speak to them. You could also join our community on Facebook, Instagram, and invite other people to come along.
Would you like to have Parents Initiative presented in your church, your Bible study, or an event that you're hosting? Be sure to contact us through our website, social media platforms. The links are found in the show notes.
So until next time.